Our next storyteller, who drove up from Boulder, is Sydney Macy. And when I got her bio, I was like, holy smokes. She is a fourth generation Coloradan with deep roots in this state. She grew up on the edge of her grandparents' farm in the county south of Denver, in the country south of Denver. From her home, there was a full view of the Colorado's magnificent mountains. Open space and open views were formative for Sydney. Sydney and her family spent a lot of times in the mountains, including Aspen, where they had a lovely home for over 50 years in the West End. She grew up skiing in Aspen and has hiked and camped all over this area. Sydney attended Stanford University and designed her own major in environmental studies since they didn't exist in the 1970s. After graduating, she immediately landed a job at the Nature Conservancy in San Francisco and for a number of years worked all over the West. Eventually, she returned to Colorado and served as the Conservancy's first woman state director until 1993. A year later, she joined the Conservation Fund, where she led fund efforts across the West, with most of her land work focused on Colorado. During Sydney's 40-year career in land conservation, she has completed hundreds of projects which have resulted in the protection of thousands of acres in land in Colorado and the West. Wow. Sydney recently completed an 18-month fellowship at Stanford in the Distinguished Careers Institute. While there, she developed a keen interest in writing and storytelling. Sydney is married to Tom Macy, also a lifelong conservationist. They live in the mountains west of Boulder with full view of the Indian Peaks. They are both athletic and active and enjoy hiking and bicycling, swimming, skiing, and fly fishing. And God, let's make a warm welcome for Sydney and her huge drive up here to be with us tonight.
My mother is tucking my sister and me into bed and whispering a secret to both of us. Tomorrow we get to skip school and ride the train to Colorado Springs. We're both so excited. It seems like it takes hours for us to get to sleep. My sister was 6, I was 9. When I get to play hooky with my brothers and sister, it is one of the best days of the year. Boarding the Denver Zephyr at Union Station, we make a mad dash to claim the coveted seats in the Vista Dome, an elevated car with no ceiling, just a giant bubble of glass. As the train pulls out, we're glued to our seats with our heads bobbing like periscopes, swiveling to take in every bit of the countryside. The South Platte River is running strong and free, full of icy snowmelt. The cottonwoods are raining puffs into the sky. As we continue our journey south, the land inches higher while the views open up. We enter a magical landscape of rolling grasslands, prehistoric buttes and mesas, and praying women hoodoos. The train roars through the Greenland town site, labors up and over the divide, and descends to the springs. The Palmer Divide is a cap rock break that runs 80 miles out into the Great Plains. It is here where the waters part, going south into the Arkansas and then to the Gulf, going north into the Platte, the Missouri, and the Mississippi. To the Ute, who left behind their sculpted prayer trees in the vanilla-infused ponderosa forests, the land was sacred. To me, the divide is a place of convergence, a place that beckons, a place where my past would become my future. It is where sheets of snow stall and dump giant drifts on the Greenland Ranch, which some say is named for its likeness to the frozen island, not for its verdant summer grasses. 10 years later, coming home from college for Christmas, I am glued to the windows of the airplane, smiling and brimming with excitement. The day is classic Colorado, brilliant blue skies and glorious snow-drenched peaks. It is the early 1970s, not long after the infamous brown cloud began to smother Denver. As we descend over the peaks, we drop into a thick soup of black smog, choking the city. Everything I know has been swallowed by that dirty air. Tears are streaming down my cheek, and I know in that moment that my life's work will be devoted to protecting my beloved home. The Greenland Ranch is the oldest operating cattle ranch on Colorado's Front Range, which runs from Cheyenne, Wyoming to Pueblo, Colorado. 80% of the state's population lives between Denver and the Springs in an area mostly defined by the Interstate 25 highway corridor. Greenland Ranch bridges these two cities and lies at the south end of Douglas County, one of the fastest growing counties in America since the 1990s. When I first traveled through this land on the Zephyr, the population of Douglas County was 5,000. Today, it is 350,000. In 1977, the family that had owned the Greenland Ranch for almost a century put it up on the market for sale. 11,000 acres for $11 million. Some of you might remember State Treasurer Roy Romer challenging the state to buy the land and ensure that Denver and the Springs would never grow together. But instead, investors from Oklahoma City purchased it and started to expand the property. Romer's plea got my attention. It was the same year I began my work with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado, negotiating deals to buy land and protect it. I was told in order to succeed, to not become attached to the land. Remain arm's length, no emotion, no love for the land, just do the deal. Many of my Conservancy colleagues would never visit a place for fear of developing that bond. But Greenland was the landscape of my childhood. It was already a part of me. And I felt a deep obligation to make sure that that land wasn't scarred with cul-de-sacs and shopping malls and office towers. The negotiations to purchase the Greenland Ranch were extremely complex and took nearly a quarter of a century to complete. We formed a lot of partnerships. We raised a lot of money. We had a lot of luck. And yes, there was a lot of emotion. And in the year 2000, we finally bought the Greenland Ranch and protected it. By that time, it was 21,000 acres and encompassed 8 miles of the interstate. We did a bunch of other deals in that area for a grand total of over 35,000 acres and 12 miles of the highway protected. Denver and Colorado Springs will never grow together. Every day, 80,000 cars drive this stretch of highway. The traffic is usually stopped. People in the cars don't see the protected landscape. They're on their phones, they're sending texts, they're receiving emails, and they're not paying attention. Their children in the back seats, hidden by darkened windows, look like hooded monks bowing down to their screens, or like disciples peering up to heaven to watch the mounted televisions as the landscape slips by. Today, the trains that travel the tracks of my childhood begin in Wyoming's Powder River Basin, where 110 open train cars are identically loaded with coal, resembling a string of black mounded graves. They are headed to coal-fired power plants in the Southwest to cool homes in the Sun Belt. It is a funeral procession. Endless black hearses commanding the right of way and never stopping. The trains are stopped on the tracks next to the freeway, and traffic in both directions is stalled. Idling, sitting, spewing fumes into the atmosphere. I have finally reached my exit, where I will go into the solitude of the Greenland Ranch. My plan is to hike the Rimrock, a favorite haunt of bighorn sheep. Peering into my rearview mirror, I can see into the SUV behind me. The western sun has illuminated the family inside, who are all immersed in their screens. As I begin to exit, I imagine motioning them to follow and join me on my solitary hike. We start off on a faint game trail with elk bugling below us and the still gridlocked highway on full display in the distance. We leave the trail and walk through tawny, tall grass, and we enter a large grove of oak brush in its full fall splendor. As we near the cliffs, still hidden by the oak, we are rewarded. 8 bighorn rams in all their glory, regal sentries presiding over this protected land. The bighorns scatter. We settle ourselves onto boulders on the cliff edge to watch the sunset. The coal train has started to slowly move south. Traffic in both directions is beginning to inch along. As dusk descends, we leave our perch and head back to our cars on a dirt road. We walk in silence. Everything is quiet, except for the distant, mournful cry of the train as it lumbers up and over the divide. Thank you.
Thank you. Will you stay sitting, Sydney? I just want you to stay sitting. And I also want to just tell you about some of Sydney's work here in the valley. Her first land deal for the Nature Conservancy was the acquisition of the North Star Ranch east of Aspen in 1978. You can start applauding. She worked closely with the owner, James Smith, and the ranch was purchased for $850,000. While with the Conservancy and the Fund, Sydney and Tom Macy helped acquire and preserve land in Hunter Creek and in Ashcroft. They also completed the protection of the land from Highway 82 up and over Watson Divide and led the effort to place a conservation easement on the Capitol Creek Ranch owned by the Childs family. Sydney's last deal in this area was the protection of the Sagebrush Meadow on the Aspen Meadows property, now called Amy's Meadow. Thank you, Sydney, for your work in the valley.